Living in an era where we see things we've never seen before. Number three, top story in the entire nation. Lee, Trump yesterday in Detroit flipping off a heckler.
Yeah. The single finger salute.
The single finger salute. It's just, I've never seen a president do that before. So he's in Michigan. He's touring the Ford F-150 plant in Dearborn to deliver remarks. A liberal heckler screams pedophile protector at him as he tours the plant. Trump shoots back with a middle finger and appears to say, blank you. Mm-hmm. Basically, F you. White House spokesperson Stephen Chung defended Trump, said a lunatic was wildly screaming expletives in a fit of rage, and the president gave an appropriate and unambiguous response.
Unambiguous is a good word for it, yeah.
Yeah. So what is he referring to? Well, there's still 10,000 pages outstanding on the Epstein thing that by law the Trump team has to turn over. They say they are redacting them, so the left is, making much hay of this, mainly to distract from two things. Number one, it's mostly Democrats who seem to have been to Epstein Island and flown on that plane. Number two, the person nobody's calling a pedophile protector, Bill Clinton, is the one actually defying the subpoena this morning.
And it remains to be seen if Hillary will as well.
Yeah. We will see. GOP lawmakers are... Congress members are initiating contempt of Congress proceedings against Bill Clinton, who defied a subpoena to testify in the Epstein investigation. Mm-hmm. Why? He can't.
Yeah.
Because he did it. He did it. He can't. Here's the thing. He cannot go under oath and lie to Congress, which is 5 years in prison, right? It's like for each count of lying to Congress, a felony. Because he doesn't know what's going to come out. They certainly can't tell Congress the truth, so he can't show up, Lee.
Yeah,
and this proves it.
Yeah.
He would have just shown up if he was innocent. So he was scheduled to appear for a closed-door deposition yesterday.
Yeah, a closed-door deposition, too.
Closed-door, right. Which tells you how bad this is for him. But he was a no-show. Now, today, Hillary Clinton is supposed to appear for a closed-door deposition. We'll see what she does.
Yeah. But she's got to be ticked off.
What?
She's got to be ticked off, not just the Republicans, but at Bill, too, for getting her into this mess.
So it's just hilarious that the Democrats, I mean, literally all they do, I watch their bots on X all day. All they do, it's so funny, whenever anything breaks that hurts Democrats, immediately the bots will spin into overdrive and Epstein, Trump Epstein, something like that hashtag will start to trend. It's you can set your watch by it. That's bad for Democrats. They give it a half an hour. Epstein will be, there it is. Epstein, Trump will be trending. Yeah. And you go in and they don't have anything to actually talk about. So they'll try all kinds of stuff. Like one of the things they've been doing lately is they will put pictures of Trump with his young daughter and pretend it's an Epstein girl that he's with. I mean, it's just silly stuff like that. But that's how they use this. And, I'm here to tell you, there is no way, Lee, that the FBI and the DOJ would have risked perjuring themselves and felony evidence tampering charges in a classified documents case where they lied to the court under oath in writing. No, we haven't rearranged the order of this evidence. Well, they did. And then they had to admit in court when they got caught, well, we kind of did tamper with the evidence. That's kind of two felonies. Sorry about that. They wouldn't have done all that if they had Trump dead to rights in the Epstein files. They would have just released it. It's not there. It's not there. Especially when you know that it was Comey's daughter, James Comey's daughter, who was handling all of this.
Yeah.
But it apparently is there for Bill Clinton. I mean, come on, closed door deposition?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
They're now initiating contempt of Congress proceedings. So,
which is pretty much toothless to begin with, but that's okay. That's all right. That's what you do.
Right.
That's how the game is played.
Absolutely. So all of that is going on. Meanwhile, you've got this whole Iran situation. I would not be surprised if really we should get a poll going. Which collapses first, the dictatorial governments of Cuba or Iran? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Those are going to be
historic.
They're neck and neck right now.
Yeah. It's going to be historic.
And
it's
headed toward the home stretch.
Well, yeah. And it's absolutely critical for national security. As John Fetterman last night was on Hannity, you know, Democrat from Pennsylvania, which it turns out to his surprise is a red state now. So he sounds more like one of us. But that could change any moment.
It was surprisingly coherent for a Democrat.
I know.
Particularly one that has suffered a stroke and recovered quite well, I might say.
The more coherent he gets, the more Republican he gets. It's weird. But anyway, so Fetterman on Hannity last night saying, listen, I don't understand this. Why can't we just finish Iran off? You know, why don't we just give him a little push? He says he's not calling for a full-on invasion. He's saying, why am I isolated in my party? Why does my party want to do anything about Iran? Why does my party, you know, not want to do anything about, and, you know, you get, anyway, the nukes, all of this. And here's what he says.
That really kind of isolated me within my party now. And then I was calling, you know, we have to destroy these nuclear facilities. You know, if Iran acquires that nuclear bomb, that changes a much, much, much dramatic there. And now Iran's making these kinds of threat. I mean, remember also Israel, they created air supremacy within 2 days. You know, Iran really's capabilities are severely limited at this point. And now they're in a death spiral with all these protests. Why wouldn't one to be ready to provide the kind of a bump to just to push it, you know, to kindly finally break this regime? And now they're so desperate, they are quite literally just executing thousands of their own citizens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazingly coherent for a, you know, Democrat senator. So that's spot on at this point.
Absolutely. And then this breaking scandal. I've been warning about this for the longest time, Lee. My biggest fear, and I mention all the time, is that Trump or J.D. Vance will be assassinated. And the reason that I worry about that, number one, we're just due at the rate these things seem to go. Remember, we had that Secret Service agent predict there'd be one every 6 months. Yeah. And that leaked internal memo because of how bad the upper leadership is. Well, we never purged the upper leadership. And the two men most responsible for security at Butler were never punished. Both were promoted. One still does the advance work for Trump. And we've had these series of incidents in recent months where liberal activists seem to know where Trump will be and have gotten within an arm's length of him, like 2 feet. And there doesn't seem to be any concern from the Trump administration. And so, you know, last week we had Judicial Watch announcing they are suing Trump, the Trump administration, and the Secret Service for all the emails of the people that were protecting Trump when he went to that restaurant and Code Pink knew where he was, and they show up with all those Palestinian activists and they're screaming in his face. And they want to know, is Secret Service leaking his location?
Well,
yes. As a matter of fact, they are. Not his. Yeah. But overnight, this is a huge story. It's getting buried in this Iran thing. J.D. Vance, one of his Secret Service team, was just suspended. Yeah. For leaking sensitive security information to an undercover reporter. And this particular reporter from OMG had gotten wind of the fact, that's why he targeted him, it wasn't random, had gotten wind of the fact that this guy was passing on information about where J.D. Vance would be, about his Secret Service protection, about his detail. Listen to what he disclosed in the 13-minute video. And by the way, a lot of it had to be cut or bleeped out of the video to protect Vance. So this guy, Thomas Escoto, current U.S. Secret Service agent, tells OMG News, he doesn't know he's talking to an undercover reporter, Lee, tells OMG News that he hates the way Trump's treating ICE. He voted for Joe Biden. I hate that ICE starts with S, ends with T. He then proceeded to share J.D. Vance's details about J.D. Vance's protective detail, sensitive security information, including protective formations, shift schedules, travel plans, and real-time locations, including upcoming plans for Vance. He also disclosed advanced security procedures. In other words, the way they go to places these guys will be, Trump and Vance, the way that they, you know, scout out the place and secure it. Even described multiple daily shift changes, when the shift time changes, where he thought he was talking to a federal fellow liberal.
So it's the not so secret service, I guess. Why is this employee only suspended?
Oh, they're investigating.
Well, it should be fired and then possibly charged.
He's been placed on administrative leave. His clearance has been suspended, and access to agency facilities. You know what they need to do? Okay, just is basic human survival stuff. Okay, they need to go politically vet every single Secret Service agent, because we are so divided in this country. I don't think you can trust one. That's not one of us, for starters. Just for starters. And folks, this understands. Remember the headline last week where people were saying, "Hey, why wasn't J.D. Vance at Mar-a-Lago?" You know, with Rubio watching the Venezuela, you know, and Trump watching the Venezuela team go down, and they said, "Oh, we can't have them together anymore." Because, you know, we're afraid that both will be killed simultaneously. This is why. And maybe something else. Maybe something else. They are not safe, folks. They're not. A bizarre spectacle yesterday at the Supreme Court. I laughed out loud when I heard it. Fox News playing it live. You've got the LGBTQ ACLU lawyer in court arguing that a biological boy should be able to play on a women's team. What does that mean? We can define what a women's team is. It is a team with women, and women are different than men. In other words, suddenly, when the left wants a boy to be able to play on a girl's team, they can define what a woman is. They can even recognize what a woman's team is. They can even recognize that the problem here, which they are required to explain to the court, is that he's a boy and he wants to play with the girls. Because you can't argue your case if you don't speak those things aloud. You can't even describe what the problem is. And Justice Alito was waiting for the lawyer. And he ran her through a buzzsaw. Because remember, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who should absolutely not be on the Supreme Court. I'm not sure that I would hire her as an assistant at the car wash, but whatever. Ketanji Brown Jackson, when asked under oath, what is a woman, said she could not know. You could not know. It was unknowable unless you were a biologist, and maybe not even then. Maybe not even then. So, if those are the rules of interaction for the left in their unique and bizarre culture, Alito wanted to know, can we define what a woman is then for the purpose of this case?
What does it mean to be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman?
We do not have a definition for the court. What we're saying is that the way it applies in practice is to exclude birth sex males categorically from women's teams, and that there's a subset of those birth sex males where it doesn't make sense to do so according to the state's own interest.
Well, how can a court determine whether there's discrimination on the basis of sex without knowing what sex means for equal protection purposes?
Did you hear how nervous she got? Well, we can't define it. We don't. You can hear the nerve. Listen to her voice.
What does it mean to be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman?
We do not have a definition for the court. What we're saying is that the way it applies in practice is to exclude birth sex.
I'm sorry. You're standing here arguing. You have used the term in debate, he should be on the women's team. And yet you're telling me you can't define what a woman is. How can you define what a woman's team is? It was an absolute spectacle. What are you seeing there? What is going on? Why are we playing these bizarre word games? Carrie Kupek asked this. This is insane. We're even spending time on this. She's a Fox News legal commentator.
That we're even considering changing sports on its face for all girls and all women on a case-by-case basis for someone who says they are a girl or a woman. You know what that really is at the end of the day? It's misogyny in policy. Because it's saying to the boys, it's saying to the men that your feelings and your desires trumps that of the girl athletes no matter what. If the girl athlete, the female athlete doesn't want to undress in front of a boy in front of a locker room, too bad. The feelings of the boys and the men matter. The fact that we're even considering...
No, stop there. Hold on. Hold. Don't play the music. We have arrived. It happens every once in a while on this show. At a moment of universal truth, she nailed it. She didn't even realize she nailed it. What the left is arguing, what the ACLU argued yesterday, and this is what Alita busted her on, the actual argument is that the transgender male, his wishes, his desires, his feelings trump the females. Why? Marxism. This is a Marxist system. It's a culture. They know the rules of it. The ACLU lawyer knows the rules of it. It's simple to them. In the oppressor versus oppressed class system, remember the Marxist Revolution, Tucker Carlson interview with the Chinese dissident. She said, during the revolution, every member of Chinese society was divided into 10 classes, 5 oppressor classes, 5 oppressed classes. Think about Kamala Harris. What did she do? The first stop she made in her presidential campaign is always to, you would always visit the highest oppressed class. Where'd she go? RuPaul drag show. That is exactly what the Fox News commentator said. She doesn't even understand what she's talking about. Obviously, transgender people are of a higher oppressed class than women. So women must give way to their feelings. It's Marxism. They get it. It's their culture. We're still trying to understand, well, if, why are you definite? It doesn't matter. They're trying to make it legally so. They are trying to embed the class system, the Marxist class system, in law. Folks, this is what's going on everywhere. Like, you know how bizarre it seems to us? Renee Good? Well, she thought she could hit the ICE agent? Well, yeah, in their culture, they can. She's of a higher class. She is of an oppressed class, bisexual, female. ICE agent is white and male, the lowest class. He's oppressor class. So yes, she can hit him. It makes sense to them. They already live this way in blue post-American territories. I can run any major news article we're doing right now through it and explain it this way, and it'll make sense. It's actually a coherent system. It's bizarre and evil, but it's coherent. If you have already divided all of society into the same 10 categories the Chinese Communist Party did. By the way, this oppressor, oppressed class system, it's not history. It's what the social credit system operates off of right now. That's why Chinese people look at this, and that Tucker Carlson interview a couple years ago, I don't watch him anymore, he's crazy, but a couple of years ago, and she could look at this and know what it was. She's lived it. She's from China. The audio I played you earlier, Jon Stewart saying it's okay for Rachel Good to hit the ICE agent as long as it's a small act of defiance. And the mayor, Jacob Frey of Minneapolis, says, well, okay, she hit him, but he could walk away. His hip wasn't that injured. That sounds bizarre to us, but it's not. If your moral and legal system that you've already adopted mentally and the Democrat Party has is the oppressor oppressed class system. She has an absolute right to hit him. Folks, again, in that interview with the Chinese dissident, she described, listen, what they would do, the Chinese Communist Party, the government, would literally pull up members of the oppressor class and then pull up members of the oppressed class, and the members of the oppressed class would beat the oppressor to death. What was the purpose of that exercise? The same purpose that we just saw in Minneapolis. Crime is okay as it depends on who is committing it. If you are a high-ranking oppressed class member, yes, you can hit the ICE agent with your car. Yes, you can tell him what to do. He has to listen. Yes, eventually you can beat him to death on stage. That's how this works. And they would demonstrate that in front of crowds. And the crowds were required to come out and watch. Why? So they could learn the lesson of who could beat who to death, but who couldn't touch a hair on who else's head. That's this system the ACLU tried to argue in court yesterday. And what she couldn't say was in our new culture, our new brave world we're building. Yes, a transgender person is of a higher oppressed class than a woman and can tell her to give up her place on the sports team. It makes sense to them. To defeat it, we need to begin to understand it. Love this tweet from Larry. Who remembers when Trump asked for $5.7 billion for border security and was told America couldn't afford it? By the way, that was by the Republicans. Remember Paul Ryan? Remember when Trump asked for $5.7 billion for border security and was told America couldn't afford it? Yeah, Democrats too. But somehow we can afford to give $9 billion to Somali daycares in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the American way. It's the American way. New report out on NGO holdings in America. Because, you know, NGOs are nonprofits. And the difference is that, you know, you have to go nonprofit. Maybe you have one that you donate to that you really like. And then there's an NGO. An NGO is a charity that gets money from the government. That's the difference between the two. That's its primary funding source. NGO. Anybody care to guess what the combined assets holdings of the NGOs are in America? This is going to boggle your mind. What would you guess it would be? Now, when you hear this, we're, you know, having those conversations with the kids right now. They're nearing college age, kind of like what career are you going to choose? You know, what's a good, you know, earnings path for you? What should you aim for? Maybe what we need to send our kids into is like our dream for you is not to be a doctor or a lawyer, but to be a successful NGO owner. I'm serious. Combined holdings in assets of America's NGOs, $14 billion. No, trillion. $14 trillion. Here's Carolyn Fippen out with that report.
The Federal Reserve has revealed the combined assets held by U.S. NGOs equals $14.2 trillion of your tax money and that of your children and grandchildren and great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. The Federal Reserve has revealed that U.S. NGOs have more in assets than the combined 2025 GDP estimates for Japan, Germany, and India combined. India and Japan's GDP each just over $4 trillion, Germany $5 trillion, about $13.5 trillion together. Guess what? Ever wonder why everything is so absolutely unaffordable today? It's not actually rocket science. Government has forgotten the fundamental reasons for which it was formed, to serve and protect our civil liberties. It has inverted the entire formula and decided that we are the ones here to serve, to work, and through our individual labors to support their desires and the behemoth of a bureaucracy that has emanated from those desires.
$14 trillion, just put that in perspective, the entire U.S. economy, 2025 is $30 trillion. About half. Meanwhile, Scott Bessent making the front of the New York Post for saying his estimate on just the fraud every year stolen, just the fraud. So a lot of that NGO money is theoretically legitimate, right? They keep it for their McMansions, but it wasn't stolen. Scott Bessent says $300, $600 billion with a B is stolen every year. Again, combined assets of NGOs in America. It's not the nonprofits. It's the NGOs. $14.2 trillion. By the way, folks, 20 years ago, it was $4 trillion. So you can see the problem there. Is predicting imminent U.S. attack on Iran with help from Israel. So we will see. Quote, this is from Amir Avivi. He's the chairman of IDS Israel. Quote, there will be no Iranian regime. is predicting an imminent U.S.-led attack on Iran, with Israeli support saying the regime stands no chance. Yeah. Well, the true error here was, honestly, Trump shouldn't have called Israel off when the Iranian leadership was in Qatar and they were on the verge of finishing them off. We'd have 12,000 fewer body bags. But he called Israel off and said, no, don't finish him off. He should have finished off Hamas and then finished off the Israeli leadership. Finished off the Iranian leadership and then been done. But folks, we need to get them all and take them out. We are never going to be more morally justified than we are right now. And this is a matter of existential matter of survival for every future Republican presidential candidate. We cannot campaign from a bunker. And what we are seeing is this nexus, folks. Every day I play you the audio to remind you who the axis of evil is and who your enemy is. It is China, it is Iran, and it is the Democrat Party. And the Democrat Party has merged with those two entities. And that is why Iran is taking the funds that Joe Biden unfroze, the $100 billion that Trump froze, handing it to the brutal leadership, and they are sponsoring Democrat street protests. That's how the money moves. That's why you never saw Joe Biden enforce the sanctions. That's why Iran is on the brink of collapse. Why? Because Trump blockaded the Venezuelan port. That's why. So I am hoping we make a clean sweep of it. We go full Soleimani. I think we need to take out the president of Iran. We definitely need to take out Khomeini. We need to get the mullahs out. They need to die. They've killed 12,000. They are wandering the streets with machine guns mounted on vehicles and gunning people down. We will never have more moral authority than we have now. But the reason we're doing this is because of the four assassination teams they sent to our soil. I do not want future Republican candidates having a campaign from a bunker because Iran is hunting us, not the Democrats, but us on our soil. That was an act of war that should have been responded to a long time ago. Let's finish it today.